Hi everyone, it's Trisha Griffith with Web Sleuth Radio. Let's go back in time just a little bit. October 1st, 2017. Concert goers were having a great time, outdoor country and western concert, just jamming, having a blast. Stephen Paddock, the evil beast from hell, began shooting from his Mandalay Bay room and he shot right down on the crowd. Since then, there are so many questions about the investigation. You might think this would be a little bit open and shut. The guy took the guns up to the room, shot everybody, and then shot himself. No, not even close. The casino and law enforcement are being very stingy with the video they have of Paddock. Now, one person has remained steadfast in his quest to seek the truth and to find out just what happened and why Stephen Paddock was able to carry out the worst mass shooting in history. That person, it's our good buddy Doug Papa, columnist, if I can say it, for the Baltimore Post-Examiner. Now, we do have a little bit of news, and a little bit is really the key phrase here, because a little bit of video was finally released by MGM Resorts International showing Paddock and bellboys helping him take his luggage, and he had a lot of luggage, pretty much mostly guns, anyway, taking all of his luggage up to his room. I recently spoke with Doug Papa, and you know what? He's still not happy with the glacial speed the information in this case is being released.
Tell us about the latest developments happening in the Las Vegas shooting. There's still information coming out, but very, very slowly, right?
Basically, nothing's coming out. What happened last week is MGM Resorts International released a few minutes of highly edited video, surveillance video from the Mandalay Bay, showing Paddock inside the hotel during his stay. The thing is they released it to the New York Times, and it took a lot of the victims' attorneys by surprise, because the victims' attorneys have been asking for this and a ton of other stuff also from MGM and Metro and stuff. But they released it to New York Times, which Catherine, I talked to Catherine, and she gave a quote in the article I sent you. And on Tucker Carlson, she said she thought it was a publicity stunt. Now, I'm assuming that MGM did that, and they did put a statement out saying, see, he's very casual in here, and there's nothing we could have done to notice anything out of the ordinary. Well, that's not really true, because the first thing I noticed when I looked at a portion of the video, and you could see it on the story that I wrote, we have the video in there, the link's in there, is when he's at the elevator, the service elevator with the bellman, his body is extremely, that's the first thing I saw. I said, you know, if I was still working at, you know, I worked at Homeland Security for a year at the airport, I said, if I would have saw him getting ready to get into the outside the ticketing area, into the secure area, we would have notified a behavioral detection officer, and they would have scrutinized him and his luggage, because you could see his body language. He's a nervous wreck. I mean, he's bouncing against the wall. He's shaking his stomach. I mean, things that I notice, but, you know, unfortunately, they didn't have those procedures in place. Where employees would be able to, at the Mandalay Bay, and they should have. They should have done that 15 years ago. They were all put on notice. So anyway, they released the videotape, and, you know, it's only, like I said, there's 700 hours about a video that they have on Paddock and Metro and MGM Resorts, and they released just a few minutes. It's highly edited. But, you know, what it did was, I never doubted, you know, there was Stephen Paddock in the Mandalay Bay, but everybody wanted to see some video of him at Mandalay Bay going in and going out. The video does show that. It shows Andy the by himself, Bellman bringing luggage up to, I mean, I counted, I think, like 20 bags total, going up to his room, you know, pulling his car up into valet and taking the bags out and stuff like that. So, you know, and people still aren't, you know, they're not happy with it. There's so much nonsense and conspiracy theories out there that it's, you know, I don't even look at them. People send me, you know, I got tons of stuff over here that people have sent me, and a lot of it to me is just a bunch of nonsense. It's, you know, it's just what people think. And they think, I don't want to think, you know, all this crazy stuff, you know, it was the Israelis, it was the Mossad, it was the Saudis, it was the CIA, it was an FBI operation, it was ISIS, it was an undercover gun-running operation. It's all nonsense. You know, I believe, and I've said that in a couple of the last stories, Stephen Paddock was the lone shooter in that room. He alone fired those weapons, I believe. Now, what I said on the Tucker Carlson show, because a lot of people didn't understand, you know, I didn't even know about it, and I said that in a couple of stories already. I broke the story on lock interrogations and the importance of that in this case. because mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but in the 81-page police preliminary report that was released in January of this year, they make reference that some of their conclusions in that report came from lock interrogation reports, and they say that in the report. Now, people say, well, what's a lock interrogation? They don't know.
Right.
Because they didn't understand their reading. And the lock interrogation is, does anybody ever know they check into a hotel? In most hotels, you don't get any more hard keys. You get a credit card type key. It's a guest key. And those keys are encoded at the front desk every time a new guest comes in. So if you go to the, you know, you go to a hotel and they give you, say, room 2020, and they give you that key card, and they usually ask you, you want any extra keys? They usually give you two. If you want more, you get more. Each one of those cards is coded by the front desk clerk to that room and to you, the new owner, the new the registrar. So if you got, you know, three cards or two cards, it would be on the magnetic stripe on that card would say, an example, guest key card number 1, 001, 02, depending on how the hotel's number them. We numbered them 00, so 0102. Now what happens is when you go up to your room and you put that key card in the hotel door, it overrides and it knocks out any of the key cards from the previous guests. So another guest can't leave the room and check out and then wait for a new guest to come in. And then when you're gone, he uses his key and goes in the room. So when they, you put your new encoded key in that door, in the electronic lock, the key card slot, all other cards before that are just basically no good. So if somebody came up, the previous guest is stuck on the door, the door's not going to open. It'll register the card going in on the computer that's in the corner, you know, there's a little chip in there, but the door is not going to open. Now, why am I bringing all this up? Because in the 81-page police preliminary report that was released in January, they say that at 21:46 hours, which is 9:46 on October 1st, the deadbolt was engaged to room 32-134. And 10 minutes later, at 21:46, which is 9:46 p.m. on October 1st, the deadbolt was engaged to 32-135. But they don't mention anything after that about lock interrogations. And what I've been saying in my last two or three stories is I want them to release lock interrogations immediately, either MGM or Metro. I don't want to wait to the end of the year when they're supposed Metro is going to release their main report's going to come out and the FBI report's supposed to come out around November, December of this year. I want those lock interrogations immediately to look at and examine because of all the evidence I've seen based on the 81-page preliminary report that was released, the search warrants, the Metro search warrants release, and the federal search warrants that were released in December, I think there's overwhelming evidence in that to believe that Stephen Paddock was the one that fired those weapons, brought the weapons in, and killed all those people and wounded the 800. Now, why do I want to see the lock interrogation reports? Because the 81-page preliminary report does not say anything else after the deadbolts were engaged in those doors about 15, 20 minutes before he opened fire at 10:05. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there and all kinds of crazy stuff, people saying he wasn't the only one in the room, somebody else shot him and somebody else did the shooting and he was dead before the shooting started, or he helped fire and then they shot him in the head and then they left the room. Well, what the lock interrogation reports are going to show, and I believe they'll prove me right, is that the deadbolts never came off those doors and the door never opened. Because the lock interrogation report, when you go in and do a lock interrogation, what is it? Depending on the manufacturer, but the way most of them work is the ones we use at the Riviera, Safe Lock, and that's a lot of hotels use it. But basically, they all basically work the same. You put the device in the door lock, and it's a little handheld computer, and you download the information from that lock into the handheld unit. Then you go downstairs, you all upload that unit into your computer with the proprietary software, and that gives you the lock interrogation readings. And you could see every time a key card was used to access the door. It will come up with the date, the exact time, and the number and type of key. In other words, guest key number 1, house key being number 2, bell, because all these people have keys, master keys to the room. So if somebody goes in your room when you're out there and you say something's stolen, that's how the hotels track down one or two people in the room at one time. So it's in there. It also gives you, on most lock interrogations, it'll also give you, depending on the manufacturer, if the door was opened, if the deadbolt was in. Well, we know whatever device that they use at Mandalay Bay that they had all that information because Metro references that in their 81-page report about how many times he went into the room when he came out. So we know those lock interrogation reports exist because they mention in their report, and they based a lot of their conclusions on those, in part, on those lock interrogation reports. But like I said, they don't mention anything after the deadbolts were engaged. And now remember, the deadbolt can only be engaged by the guest from inside the room. You cannot leave your hotel room. When you shut the door, that's just the bottom lock that, you know, locks automatically. You cannot turn the deadbolt off.
Right.
You have to turn it on from inside the room. So whoever, Paddock, I believe, put the deadbolts on those two doors before he started opening fire for security reasons. You figure if the cops going to break in, it'll take them a little bit longer, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't mention that anymore. And what's important to me is I want to see the lock interrogation reports for the, his entire stay, and I'll explain why in a minute, but particularly as soon as I can from the night of October 1st. Because when those lock interrogations, when those deadbolts were engaged at 15, 20 minutes before he opened fire, if the lock interrogation reports show that, that those deadbolts were never disengaged and the doors never opened after or during he started firing, and the 1 hour and 5 minutes before the police went in, mm-hmm. and the deadbolts were still on the door, then obviously nobody was in the room with Stephen Paddock, and he did what the police led, shot himself and fired out the window. Now, if the lock interrogation reports show that before the police went in and after the shooting, somebody turned the deadbolt and disengaged it and the door opened, and then we got a hold of the ballgame. Now somebody was in that room and left before the cops breached that door now in 5 minutes. I don't think that's going to be the case. And the reason why I say that is, yeah, remember, Jesus Campos was still on the floor. Stephen Shuck was on the 32nd floor with him, and Shuck left, I think, for a couple minutes to go downstairs, but his maintenance supervisor was there when he left. So you have at least two employees on the floor. Plus, you got to remember, whoever left that, if they did, and I don't believe they did, Paddock had bracketed the fire stairwell door shut adjacent to his room. So nobody could go down the stairwell. On the opposite side of that door was 6, 7, 8 cops. So we know they didn't go down that stairwell.
That way, right.
The 300 stairwell, according to the radio traffic, we know cops were in the 300 stairwell. So I don't believe anybody was in the room with Paddock. That's why I do not know why they didn't put that into the report. And I said that in my story. I would have included that in my 81-page report. That, by the way, the lock interrogation showed that the doors never opened, and that would have ended any conspiracy theory about a second person in the room with Paddock. But they didn't put in the report, and I think the reason why I didn't put in is they knew that the deadbolts never came off the door and Paddock committed suicide, and they just figured they just didn't put it in. But I don't trust anybody. So.
Well, exactly. And Doug, and I know you just said you don't know why they did it, and I'm going to ask you why they did it, which is ridiculous, but I want you to think deep. You know these people better than anybody. Do you think it was just, oh, we don't need to put that in, forget about it, it was Stephen Paddock, no problem, we're not even going to worry about it? Was it just laziness? I'm with you. I don't think they're trying to hide anything, but it makes no sense that they didn't release this report with the footage. I don't get it.
They didn't put a lot of stuff in the preliminary report, and because it's a preliminary report, maybe when they finish their final report, all that's going to be answered. But then they're going to have a press conference anyway to do that, and all these questions could be asked. But I don't think, I mean, let me put it this way, okay? And then before I forget, the reason why I wanted to see the entire lock interrogation reports for his entire stay is because if you remember in the 81-page report, they have him, you know, checked into the hotel from the 25th on to October 1st. Mm-hmm. And then they say that various times he left the hotel, even left Vegas, and they tracked him through the cell phone pings going back to Mesquite. He went to a gun shop, bought more guns, and then was coming back and going. I want to see lock interrogation reports for his entire stay to seal up in my mind that when he was gone from that room, no other guest key or nobody else
right.
went into that room.
No,
because, you know, and that would just seal everything up. And then, of course, the night of October 1st, the deadbolts never came off. Right now, that's all supposition on my part, because the only thing we know, according to the police, is that the deadbolts were engaged on that door about 15, 20 minutes before he opened fire, but that's all they say. And I believe when the lock interrogation report's released, it's going to confirm, you know, and I hope. Now, I said that in my story. Now, I could be wrong. It may go, you know, at 10:20, after 5 minutes after the firing stopped, those doors opened and the deadbolts were off and open, which means somebody left the room. Now we're in for a real conspiracy, because then somebody left that room and Stephen Paddock was dead, so that's going to open up God knows what. But I don't
exactly
think that's the reason why. You know, you got all these conspiracy theories out there, and you know, people are saying everything and everybody. It was you know, it was the CIA, like I said, it was the Israeli Mossad, it was a Saudi hit team, it was he was ISIS, and he was radicalized, and it was a gun running operation. Well, I'll tell you this, I said that on the Pat Campbell show the other day. I don't know if you listened to me on the show, but I said, you know, people saying he was radicalized and became a, you know, a convert of radical Islam. Well, no, he didn't. Well, I mean, he could have, but I don't believe he did, because had he done that, these guys just don't commit suicide for no reason. He would have fought it out with the cops, or he would have blown himself up in that room, or with a vest, or waited till the cops come in and kill him. They go down fighting. They just don't shoot himself in the head.
And they try and take as many people with them as possible.
That's true. So I don't buy that nonsense that he was radicalized. He doesn't fit the profile to me as somebody who was radicalized. He's in the casino. He's gambling and all that stuff. So I don't think that. Why I don't think it was a gun running operation, well, tell, which I find that to be preposterous, because, you know, when I was undercover 25 years ago, we did a lot of operations in hotels back at that time. And even with the equipment we had back then, which was ancient by what they have now, the government wouldn't have had cheesy cameras with cables running off the room service cart, like was in the room and all that stuff. And number one, and number two, is they got away from using hotel rooms anyway over the past couple of decades, because they've had some really bad, you know, shooting started and stuff like that, and the people got hurt in hotels. So they get away from that. And the other thing is, when they're doing an undercover operation in a hotel room, you want to have the adjoining room door, the adjoining room where your team is, in case something goes wrong in the main room on the other side. You want to have those adjoining doors so you can open them and go through, and they're all staged so they get through real fast. And in this case, they couldn't have done that, because the adjoining room, he had the adjoining room. There's nothing else adjoining to 134 except 135. So, I don't think it was a gun-running operation. That made no sense to me. I think, people just find it hard to believe that one guy, like when this thing started, it was all these nonsense that was on the television shows, even the national news, and then everybody
ridiculous.
Just forgot about it.
Right.
They were saying, you know, how can one guy bring in all that luggage? Why didn't the hotel know? How can one guy go in and bring all the stuff in and do this? And so, well, very simply, he rolled this just like he did. He brought it himself. He had the bellman helping him. You know, people can bring in as much stuff as they want in a hotel. Matter of fact, when there's conventions going on, we have DEF CON convention, the Hackers convention, gun conventions we have. You have the CES show. When those conventions come down, you'd be surprised how much stuff and boxes go into people's rooms, especially if they're an exhibitor or a vendor. They use
right.
a lot of stuff in their room. So it's not uncommon for somebody to bring in, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30. That's not uncommon when I saw that. But they made this big thing about it. How can they be? Why didn't the hotel? You know, and on the hotel side, there's nothing to do because there was nothing in place. So that's not uncommon. Yes, I believe he brought all those guns in. They weren't in long gun cases, because those AR-15 and AR-10 platform rifles that he had, the semi-automatics, you open them up, they break down with one pin. Take one pin out, they now separate the receiver from the barrel assembly, and now you're down to about 13 inches to 14, you put that in the suitcase. So all those guns were probably, you know, in half in this case with his magazines and everything. He put in his room, he brought all the ammunition in, he took out the windows, whether he shot the windows out or used a hammer or whatever. Yes, one person can do that. You know, they're making these windows out to be something that's a hammer. I talked to some people and some glass people the past couple of months, and they told me, yeah, a sledgehammer with a couple of bangs would take out those windows like that. A double pane,
wow.
would break it and stuff. So, or he shot, you know, a couple of shots through or something. But the fact is, yes, one person. Then he had the bump stocks. You know, the guns are not accurate with the bump stock. All you got to do is point in the general direction you know your targets are, like he was doing, and he just kept shooting. And he was just hoping how many people he was getting. It was not like he was looking through a scope, because he cannot use a bump stock with the scope. I mean, it's just not made for that. The bump stocks are made for basically point and firing, and, you know, so it could be done. You know, so the lock interrogations are going to seal this up one way or another. And like I said, if it's what I believe, it's going to show that they didn't come off. Now, like I said, and I put in my story too, I'm just speculating here. I mean, it could come back and say, well, 5 minutes after the shooting stopped, the deadbolts came off the door opened. Well, now we're in for something else, a whole different ball game, because now somebody left the room. But we don't know that, and I don't know why they're not releasing those lock interrogations. I would release them right now. I put that on my story. I even told MGM, please release them, Metro, release them, so we could stop all this nonsense. We don't have to wait another 6, 7, 8 months till the final report comes out.
It's just ridiculous. They're also harming the victims' families who are waiting for information. I don't understand it. I just don't. It's bizarre.
Another thing that happened was a couple of weeks ago, you know, the news outlets, there were five of them. There was the Las Vegas Journal back in 2017 in December, somewhere around there, the CNN, Associated Press, the LA Times, New York Times, all filed suit in court out here. They want everything released. They didn't just search one. They want everything. They want police reports and everything. Well, the judge basically told LVMPD about 2 months ago, you have to release everything. It's not going to jeopardize the investigation. They have the right to know what's the public interest and all this. And what Sheriff Lombardo did about a month ago is he wanted $500,000 from these news outlets that he said that's how much it's going to cost his people to make copies of all this stuff, which was absurd, right? To me, it was a stall tactic. Why? I don't know. Well, that went to court, and the judge basically blew him out of the water and said, no, you know, $300-$400 is fine, but that's $500,000. You're crazy. So, but they still haven't released anything. Yeah, he wanted $500,000.
God.
He wanted $500,000 paid by these news organizations, so if they want all the stuff. And the judge basically sided with the news people and said, no, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. You know, a more reasonable thing is $300-$400 or something like that And plus it's public record and all this type of stuff. So anyway, but nothing has been released thus far. And you got to remember that when they released, MGM released that video last week, it was not released by the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. As a matter of fact, they were annoyed about it because they put out their own statement and said, MGM owns the video, they did what they did, but we're not making any comment on it, and Sheriff Lombardo's not going to comment on it or anything that's on those tapes. So they weren't too happy about it, but, you know, I don't know why. You know, when they said they had another suspect, and then they arrested this guy in Arizona who sold him the incendiary armor-piercing ammunition and all that, you know, we and other people thought that was a suspect. But, you know, if there's somebody else out there, fine. But I don't see how releasing a lock interrogation report right now is going to hurt anything in the investigation. MGM released some of the video. We know Paddock was in the hotel. Release that stuff so we can see what the door is. You know, now, hey, you know, I mean, I don't know. This is just speculation on my part. Maybe the reason why they don't want to release the interrogation report is because they know the deadbolts came off, which means somebody came out of that room. I mean, I hope that's not the case, because now you're talking about a major cover-up involving the FBI, the MPD.
Exactly.
Oh, big time.
You know what the biggest problem interviewing Doug Papa is? All the questions I have to keep asking him to bring him out of his shell. Of course, I'm being facetious. Doug Papa is the best interview around because I don't have to do anything. I ask him one question, and he has all the stats and figures and everything that everybody ever said or did in this case, and he can talk about it all night long. The man is amazing. And we'll be going back to Doug Papa as soon as little itty bits of information is released over the summer. Now, supposedly October 1st, there's going to be that big final report, but we'll have to wait and see. We're going to hear a lot from Doug Papa, I'm certain, as the months go on as we lead up to October 1st. Okay, there's this woman, Martha Morgan, and the Shreveport Police Department said she committed suicide. I'm here to tell you she did not. Now, I interviewed her daughter, Danessa Morgan, and we went over all the evidence, and it's obvious that this woman was murdered. Well, today, I got the homicide detective on the phone to ask him questions about this case. Why is it a suicide when it's so obviously a murder? And guess what? The detective lied to me and then hung up. It's beautiful. And it'll be coming up here, oh, I would say sometime maybe by Friday. So look for it on Blog Talk Radio or on SoundCloud. We'll have it up. I'll tweet it out. I'll put it on our Facebook page. It's great. I love it when I get a gotcha like that. Okay, everybody, you be safe. I don't want you to become one of my topics, okay? Keep it here on Web Sleuth Radio. And don't forget, websleuth.com, the absolute best true crime discussion forum in the universe. Talk to you later. Tricia Griffith saying so long.